Well, hello and good morning. Thank you all for coming. If I had them, I'd give everybody 2 gold stars, one for getting up so early and another one for showing up to economics symposium. So thank you all for coming. Something that you'll notice is that there is a change in title here. Unfortunately, I forgot to insert the textile portion in my title that showed up in the program. So if you were here for a presentation on raw fiber imports into the U.S., you'd be disappointed. But I could promise you that if I was talking about that, it would be a very short and probably pretty boring presentation. So what I'm here to talk to you about is end-use consumption in the United States. We're going to be taking a look at U.S. Textile imports for both apparel and home, and talk about some changes that have been going on there. Generally, what I'm going to be discussing is an update regarding some of the data that I presented to you guys last year. Last year, I was talking about how we had discovered this new source of weight data that was available to us. What I'm going to be talking about now is how we have transformed that data source into a database and how we've been able to use that to figure some things out in terms of what's going on the consumer side. So the reason we're all doing this is to take a look at, you know, what's been going on in terms of demand. So to begin our discussion of demand, we can take a look at what's going on at the mill level over the past several years. When we take a look at this data, you can see dual effects coming from the recession, which hit us in 2008-2009. Then also you can see the lingering effects of the price spike that occurred in 2010-2011. So just to get a broad overview of where we are globally in terms of consumption, we're down still a little bit less than 10% relative to where we were at our peak. So this is what's going on at the mill level, but what's going on at the consumer level? One of the ways we get an idea is to take a look at what's going on in terms of U.S. in-use consumption. In-use consumption, we're talking about the raw fiber equivalents of apparel and home textiles being consumed. What I'm showing you here are some data I just pulled from USDA, which are sort of a parallel to what we've developed in our database. And when we take a look at those data, you can see end-use in the United States is down about 20% relative to where we were at our peak back in 2006-2007. Take a look at some of the most recent data that the ICAC has put out regarding global textile demand. U.S. represents about 25% of the world's total, according to their figures, at least in the latest data they have, which was for 2010. So with the U.S. representing 25% of global end use, and with us being down 20%, that is does have some important consequences globally. But if you take a look at what's going on in terms of some of the macroeconomic data that are out there regarding the U.S. consumer market, particularly as it relates to clothing, things are a little bit more positive. So if you take a look at dollar terms, what's been going on in terms of U.S. consumer spending just on garments, we're up about 7% relative to where we were back in 2006-2007. So you put all this information together, and we get some questions. You take a look at consumer spending being up, but you take a look at cotton end-use consumption being down. What's going on there? Well, there's probably a couple things that are contributing to that. One of those is that retail prices are higher. So you take a look at retail prices in the current market. CPI for garments is up about 6 or 7% relative to where it was back in 2006-2007. So that would explain some of that discrepancy about how we can have record levels of consumer spending. At the same time, we have cotton end use being down about 20%. Something else we have to consider is that the apparel market is not cotton alone. Due to the price spike, we have seen some fiber substitution, and those changes in market share that have been about 10%. We put those two items together, that gets us to, that explains some of the gap that we have between the increase in consumer spending. It's about 7% and the 20% decline we have in end-use, but doesn't completely explain it. So there may be some other factors that are going on, and we'll get into that with some of the analysis that we have from our import database a little bit later in this discussion. But first, I just want to present to you what this import database is and why we developed it. What we have essentially done is reinvented the wheel that the USDA developed. Also, the NCC has some similar data available. But we wanted it in our hands because we wanted to try to apply that to some different applications. And in particular, we wanted the most precision that was available to us to help guide some of our product development efforts. But what we've got is we've got monthly data regarding U.S. imports since 1996 for over 2,000 different import categories. The data attributes we have are those for value, unit count, and for weight. We can adjust those weight numbers for manufacturing loss using some of the USDA conversions to come up with raw fiber equivalents. So it's easy for us to get back to bales by using this data. And there are a lot of applications for this. One of the most basic applications is taking a look at the distribution of U.S. end-use consumption. Here, what I'm showing you is the proportion of in-use for all fibers and the proportion of all cotton use according to very general categories. So you can see most of all the fiber that's consumed at the consumer level comes from apparel. We also see home furnishings is relatively important. The other category would include things like tenting, tarping, also some sacks, some bags. But generally, when we take a look at where the meat is, it's in apparel and home textiles. That's particularly the case for cotton. If you compare the distribution of cotton for apparel and home furnishings, it really matches the overall market. So not much of a discrepancy there. The reason why we wanted to do this database is to get a better idea about what's going on in terms of some of the individual product categories. And that's something that's not really available in some of the data that's published by the USDA and also by the Council. Just want to show you how we can sort of break some of these data out. Just taking a look at distribution of home furnishings. So the composition of home furnishings, you can see it's mostly sheets and towels. We've got blankets, that also includes quilts, and then we've got tablecloths, napkins, and things like that representing about 10% of the home market. You add all those together, we get about 90% of all the home furnishings consumed in terms of bale equivalents for the cotton. The other 10% would include things like curtains and floor coverings. So you get an idea about how we can use this database. That's what we've got for home furnishings. We can do similar analysis for the apparel market. As you'd expect, most of the cotton consumed in apparel form comes in the form of either shirts or pants. You can see underwear and socks, which also that category also includes pajamas, represents about 15% of the total, and coats is down around 5%. You add all those together, we get up to about 9% of the total cotton equivalents consumed for apparel. Other categories that are somewhat important include dresses and skirts, and some other minor categories as well. Here, I just want to show you how we can break down this data a little bit further. Percentages can be helpful, but it may be useful to just take a look at what the actual bale numbers are for these different categories. What I'm showing you here are averages for the past five complete calendar years. We've got very general categories that we put together. We also can see, in addition to the bale equivalents, you can take a look at the share of apparel represented by these different categories and also the share of the total, which would be apparel plus home. You take a look at the largest segment in terms of cotton consumption for apparel end use, it's shirting. Bottoms is the second most important. You put those two together, we've got over 70% of the total market. Once again, underwear and coats also relatively important. This is useful, just giving us an idea about what the landscape of end use is. We can use it also to do some ground truthing. I know there's been some numbers out there floating that denim represents 20% of total end use. But if you take a look at these import data, you can see that really overstates. It's only about half that volume, with only about 1 in every 10 bales of cotton going to denim. So I want to give you an idea about how we can break out this data even further. So we're taking a look at very general categories. Here we can dig into what we've got just in terms of our shirting. You can see knit tops represent the vast majority of all the shirting that's brought into the U.S. or consumed in the U.S., followed by woven shirts would be our dress shirts, and then sweaters. Just give you a further idea about how we can drill down on this data. I'm not trying to bore you guys, but just want to give you an idea about what kind of detail is potentially available. You can see we can dig into knit tops, so you can break out by gender, and even within gender categories, so you can see the subcategories for men and boys knit tops. We can separate out the pullovers. Pullovers are garments that don't have any closures, no zippers, no buttons. T-shirts, you can see, very important. Sweatshirts also relatively important when you take a look at knit tops. So just give you an idea about how we can play with this data. Once again, it's important because it can help guide some decisions in Cotton Incorporated. Just give you an idea about how some of this data can be put into application. You can take a look at some of the losses that we've had in terms of cotton consumption. Here I'm showing you the difference we had in 2013 bale equivalents relative to where we were at those high points that we had back in 2006, 2007. You can see the biggest losses that we've had in terms of cotton end use have occurred in shirting. And of course, shirting is our biggest category, so that could be expected. You also can see some important declines in bottoms. You see some big percentage increases in some of our more minor categories, such as coats. Take a look at the home furnishings markets. The declines are still relatively important, but smaller than what we've seen on the apparel side. So you got some idea about some of the analysis that we can do. One of the other points I want to make is that we can do a lot of things that was not possible in the past. We've got this data in hand. We've got the precision that can be really helpful in terms of figuring things out, particularly when we take a look at product development efforts. One of the things that we wanted to pay attention to was once again trying to get at that difference that we've had between retail spending and the amount of cotton that's been consumed and in use. And one of the ways that we've tried to analyze that is to take a look at what's going on with average unit weights. It's something we discussed very briefly last year, but now that our database has been pulled together, we can take a more comprehensive look at that. Here what I'm showing is just the change in unit weights that has occurred. When we take a look at essentially any product category, we have seen some important declines in the recent data compared to where we were back at those peaks back in 2006, 2007. Here I'm showing you the change that we've seen in average weights for knit shirts for men and boys, women and girls, and also for bottoms, both for males and for females. The blue bars are showing the change we've seen in average unit weights for cotton dominant goods. And the gray bars are showing the change that we've seen for synthetic dominant apparel goods. When we take a look at both of those product categories, you can see important declines between 15 and 20% for most of those items. What we think this really can be interpreted as is as retailers taking some of the cost out of manufacturing. They're lightening their items by taking some of that fiber out. That's particularly probably a response to the cost pressures that were introduced by the recession and also the price spike we had a couple years ago. So when we take a look at the pattern of declines, we start seeing this, that accelerating beginning back in 2008 and 2009. So what we're seeing is an important loss in terms of average unit weights. That's important because that does get back to the fiber level, and that probably does help explain some of that separation we've seen between increases in consumer spending and decrease in cotton use. So this may be that missing element that can explain that difference that we weren't able to get at due to the increase in retail prices and the decrease in cotton share. So this is something that's really important that we've been able to do with our database. So the reason we've been doing all this, once again, is to implement this to help inform some decisions. We do product development at Cotton Incorporated due to the fact that we have seen garments get so light over the past couple years. What we maybe could do is take a look at markets where we potentially could try and get some of that fiber put back into some of the manufacturing process. One of the ways we can do this is maybe working with some of our quality folks. We do have labs that can test fiber strength. We also can take, fabric strength. We can also take a look at what consumers are saying. So some of the good work that Adrian has done with us over the past couple years, seeing what consumers are complaining about, some of that has been related to fabric thinness and how those garments are falling apart sooner than they normally could have been expected. That also could be due to some lightening of the average product weights. So there is some implementation possibilities for this work. Some other things that we want to do, we do want to come up with some aggregated measures of change. We talked about changes in average unit weights for some individual product categories. I was hoping to have an index of product weights available for you guys this morning, but I ran out of midnight oil last night, so that's something that probably will be able to show up in the Beltwide paper if you're interested in it. But if you want to take a look at what's going on in terms of average product weights for cotton-dominant goods, that's something that should be available in the Beltwide paper. Something else we want to take a look at is quantifying the losses specific to share and also the losses specific to changes in unit weights. We can rank those and see which may have had a more important impact on the declines in use in the U.S. Market. Also taking a look at some other variables we can derive from this database, we can take a look at the average cost per unit weight. So for those of you who are familiar with the pass-through analysis work that we've been doing for the past couple years, when we take a look at the garment level, we've been expressing our costs in terms of price per square meter equivalent. But now we can take a look at cost per pound, which is nice because we can have more direct interpretation of some of the elasticities of the effect on fiber prices on prices downstream. And then finally, something that we can do is make our database a little bit bigger. Right now, all the figures are at the world level, meaning we're describing imports from all sourcing locations. What we could do is break that out by individual countries, and that's something that we're hoping to do over the next couple months. So that just a brief overview of some of the data we've got and how we're looking at it and how we hope it can be implemented. So we have another minute or two. If you guys have any questions.
We've got some people that didn't show, so we've got plenty of time.
Okay. All right. Yeah, please. Yes. Yes. So what we've got is we've got these, every import category that exists for apparel for home we've got. Those import categories are broken out by fiber dominance. So what we have is either they're 50% or more cotton or they're 50% or more synthetic, so we can examine it that way. All right. Yeah, please. That's a good question. Yeah, so that is one we'll have to think about. And that's something I think, you know, we have to spend a lot of time with our consumer folks and also advertising folks to see where the best opportunity might be. Prices certainly will make things a little bit easier. We take a look at some of the prices for imports already. We've seen some evidence of them declining. So we are seeing some of the decreases in fiber prices being passed through. So there is some reason to be hopeful, but we've got a lot of ground to make up being down 20% compared to where we were 7-8 years ago. All right, thank you.